Good morning and welcome on this blessed Christmas Eve. I have to apologize. Last week in my sermon, I said that nobody is visiting us. I was wrong. Timothy came home. And I was thinking of the grandchildren, so I apologize for misspeaking like that. I also have a note here from the Outreach Committee. Brother Mike gave this to me. A big thank you for all who came out and braved the elements last Sunday to go caroling. I think we all had a blessed time. I think the people at Mike's place especially enjoyed us singing. They enjoyed the candies that were handed out too. And I think we also had a blessed time at Uncle Carl's at the end. Are there any greetings? Okay, I think a lot of people are away. Any updates on any those with the medical issues? Floyd, any update on Janet's MRI?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. We'll keep praying for that. The coat drive has been a success for sure. Four more people showed up today. Next Sunday is the last Sunday. Today we're having service now, lunch in church, and then an afternoon song service where we can again sing Christmas carols. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. There are no services tomorrow. There are also no Wednesday night this week or next week. The first Wednesday for 2024 is on January 10th. Next Sunday is a normal Sunday again, like today. So plan for that. It's also New Year's Eve. Anything else to announce? Okay, let's sing out of hymn number 7 in the Apostolic Christian Hymnals, first two verses, and then pray for Brother Frank as he has this morning's service.
Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can gather together into your house of worship and read from your word and to fellowship with one another. And we ask that your blessing would be upon each one that is here today and that you would teach us from your word, teach us how we should live, teach us how we should be obedient to your word and be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, we just thank you for this season where we look at the birth of your Son that came to earth to be a man, fully God and fully man. And we thank you for the sacrifice that he made for us to come to earth and also to die on the cross that our sins could be forgiven. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So at Christmas time, we are celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we have December 25th as the of Jesus, but nowhere in the Bible does it give a date of when Christ was born. And it doesn't even give a calendar year of the year that he was born. In our calendar system, we have B.C. and A.D. For before Christ was born, and when he was after he was born, and his preaching about his kingdom, and what that calendar system was just coming into effect at that time. So there are a lot of dates around that time that are not really certain, because it was like a combination of dates that were recorded in other calendar systems, and not all of those ones are accurate or can be say that there is definite evidence for all of them. But and then in the calendar system that we are currently using, we see that most scholars have put Herod's death at 4 BC, and so that was, and Herod was the one who had the children killed, so we don't know exactly when Christ was born, on what date that would be, but it really doesn't matter. It's something that that we don't, that really isn't that significant of when he was born. But I'd like to read some scriptures and then some of the Old Testament prophecies that these scriptures have fulfilled. And I want to begin with Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In this scripture, it talks about that Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, and that's kind of like an engagement, but different than we have engagements today. It was more of like a formal agreement, sometimes between families and sometimes just between the husband and the wife, or the future husband and future wife. And but it was an agreement that they would be married. And sometimes there was some time between when they were espoused till when they were actually married. And espousals then were like a contract that was being made, but it was being made for a future marriage that they would come and get together. So Mary and Joseph were espoused but not married yet at this time here. And then Joseph is seeing that Mary is already with child. She's already pregnant at a time there. And I'm just trying to think how I would feel at that, with that kind of conditions, knowing that that child was not his own child, and knowing what was going on, what was happening there, knowing the full situation. And then in a dream, the angel instructs Joseph to marry Mary. And again, that would be something that is going through his mind, how he should proceed with this and how he should go, because Mary was with child and they are not married. So he's wondering how this all will go and how he will look in that situation. And but then he was told that the child was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And I think that's something also to consider when he hears that. What does all of that mean? How did this happen, or what is going on, and how does he handle this? I know I would be confused with a lot of things. But he's told that the child was conceived by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost would come upon her, and she would have a child. And but that's it's only seeing that really Jesus is truly God, because he was conceived by the because of the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost came upon her, yet she was truly a woman and mankind. So here it's true that Jesus is deity, and he's truly man, that he's as we are. And it's hard for me to imagine all of that, what that is really like and how that is. But God can do the impossible. God can do that. And also, Joseph was told to name the child Jesus. And so it was when Jesus was born that he would be named. He was named Jesus. And then we also read that in verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And that goes back to the Old Testament. There is a scripture like that in Isaiah 7, that when it was from Jeremiah, or it was Isaiah, and he was in the book of Isaiah, and it was Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And this was 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. It was also prophesied that it would be a virgin that would conceive. And I think a lot of people wouldn't understand that because that was a virgin who was not married and who was not having a child in the usual way. And we can see that that was prophesied beforehand. And it's even at this prophecy, it was made to a king of Israel, but the king of Israel and the prophet told the king to ask a sign of God and to make sure of that it's really from God. But the king didn't even say he doesn't want to decide on the sign. And so the prophet said, God will give that sign that this is really from God, that that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. And again, that was over 700 years before the actual event happened. So there we can see already a prophecy of God. Then I'd also like to read in Matthew 2, 1 through 11. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And here we see that Jesus is already has been born at this time, and it's probably a number of years after his birth that that these wise men come and want to. It was their understanding that this star was a sign that a king had been born, and so they went out looking for this king and to bring a presence unto this king. And they go to Jerusalem, and they ask about where is this king that was born in Israel. And they ask that of Herod the king, who is the king in Israel at that time. And this is really something new to him. He doesn't even know that Jesus is born and Jesus is the king. So he's saying, he's probably thinking, a king is born and I'm the king. And why would he not know about this? And Herod asks the Jewish scholars and those that knew the word of God and knew the prophecy, they're saying, where does it prophesy that this king would be born and that he would be the king of Israel? And I think Herod was thinking, well, I'm the king. I don't want another taking my position away from me. And he didn't know about this, but he asked the Jewish where that Jesus would be born. And then we see that there was a scripture. The scripture is in Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth shall have been from old for everlasting. So this is prophesying the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for and knew would come, because there are other scriptures that talk about that, but this was talking about the town that he would be born in, and that town is also Bethlehem was the town that David the king was born in. And so they tell the king that the scriptures say that he will be from Bethlehem. And even though Bethlehem is a small town, it's not like Jerusalem. It's not far from Jerusalem, but it's not as well known and not as big as Jerusalem. And it's really a small town. and he didn't know about this, but he then tells the wise man that, well, you go and find this child for me because I want to go and worship him also. And that wasn't true, though. His real intent was to do away with this person so he would remain king, and then this new king that was born wouldn't take over his position. And then he also asked them, when did this star appear, or this sign in the heavens that the king was born? And they told him, and he told them to go and find the child and so that he can worship him also. But that wasn't his intent to do. His intent was to get rid of that king so that it wouldn't be any competition to him. But he tells them that he wants to worship this king, and they should come back and tell him that. And so we see that these wise men give him a time of when this appeared in the heavens, that that a king would be born. And then he, and what happens is that the wise men go and they find Jesus. They find him in the they find him at Bethlehem, and they came and they brought these gifts unto the king, because they want to see that something that they saw in the heavens was to them a sign that a king was to be born, and that was something special, that they would want to worship this king and want to bring him gifts. And they did bring him gifts. And when they came to Bethlehem, and they found the house of the young child still with Mary, the mother, and it would and they did come and bring those gifts and worshipped him and gave Mary the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we also read that in Isaiah 60, verse 3, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." It's foretold that these men would come. It's foretold in the scriptures that they would come, and they would see this king was being born, and they would recognize that he is something special, especially because of the signs in heaven that they saw on this star. And it may not have been a regular star. It may have been some event where what looks like a star would happen, and that it would lead them from where they were, and they were probably from the areas around Babylon where the Israelites had been taken many years earlier. And maybe they had heard some of the things that the Israelites were saying, and seeing that they now this looks to them like this was the king that they were talking about, or the Messiah that they were talking about. And so they wanted to come and worship this king there. And it's prophesied that there would be something like that happening, and it did happen. And so then in Matthew 2, 12 through 18, I want to read that part then. "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. This is the wise men were now warned in a dream that they shouldn't go back to Herod, because that what the intention that he gave wasn't true. That's not what he wanted to do. So being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." So this is after the wise men went to see Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and they gave them their gifts, and then they were warned in a dream by God that they shouldn't go back to Herod and tell him that they found the child, and that that Herod would not worship him and didn't want to see him to worship him, but so they didn't go back to Herod. They went back to their own country, and we see that also that this is revealed to them in a dream, yet it's God speaking to those wise men to warn them that they should not go back to Herod, and that Herod would want to take the life of the child, and that wasn't happening. But that wasn't going to happen. It was prophesied that this Jesus, this king, was more than a regular king would be, and it was something that he was an eternal he's really the eternal God, and I'm not sure how much they would have understood that, or how much they would have learned about the Jews and their Messiah from the time of Babylon when the Jews were there. But they didn't go back to Herod. They went and they came back to their own country in another way. And then also in a dream Joseph had to take this child and go into Egypt, and so that so that Herod would not do anything to him, and he wouldn't kill him, and that this child would be preserved from that being killed at that time, and go into Egypt. And it's also similar that in the Old Testament that the Jews went to Egypt and had were there some 400 years or something, and that they would eventually come out of Egypt, and God would lead them out of Egypt. And here God is telling Joseph that he should take the child Jesus to Egypt, and they should go to Egypt. And he tells them that in this dream, he also tells that Herod would be seeking the life of the child, that he would want to get rid of this child. But then God was telling Joseph there. He was revealing this to Joseph in a dream. And It's not like this is an Old Testament prophecy, but this is really God prophesying that Jesus would be eternal. And it says in Micah 5:4, "And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." So this is prophesying that Jesus would not be killed like Herod wanted to do, but that in effect that Jesus is God and is eternal. And also in Hosea 11:1 it says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." So here it's foretelling that this Jesus would come out of Egypt, and God called him his son, the Son of God, and that he would be in Egypt, but they would return to Israel from Egypt. And then there's also then Herod did send out those to kill, but to kill like every male child in Bethlehem there, so that he didn't know which one would be Jesus, but he would just said have all of them killed, so that this because he feared that his kingdom would be over if there was a new king that would come. And so he said that anyone of all those 2 years old and under should be killed, and he did have them killed. And also there's an Old Testament scripture in Jeremiah 31:15. "Thus saith the Lord, the voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are not." So this is foretelling from the Old Testament that it would be fulfilled, those things that there would be this slaughter of children that would happen, and know that this was the years earlier. And we can see how even at just the birth of Christ there were prophecies of that, and these are just a few of them that we can see and that we can read in the Old Testament. And there are many other prophecies. These are just the ones at his birth, but there are hundreds of prophecies that about Jesus and the things that he would do and what he would be in Israel. And we can see that God fulfills those prophecies, and there are prophecies that are yet unfulfilled. And but it shows that we can believe in the word of God, knowing that he is a true word, and that we should recognize Jesus, who he is, and he is really the Son of God. And there are also prophecies of the things that he did in his life, and there are also prophecies of his being suffering and hung on the cross to be the one who would be able to forgive our sins, because he would take our sins upon himself, and he would pay the penalty for that sin by his death on the cross. But then 3 days later that he would rise again and come out of the grave, and would be seen of many people, that he really was something special, that he was one who would be able to be a king in a different sense of Israel, not a king who would have a physical kingdom like the other ones had, that but he would he wanted a to be the he wanted to be the a personal savior to each one of us. That's what he came to do. He came to provide a way where he could be our savior, and he could look at us as his children also, if we gave our life to him and dedicated our hearts to him and obeyed him. And then I'd also like to read Isaiah 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this is telling about Jesus, that he's going to be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Those are just some of the names that would be attributed to Jesus, because that's what he came to do. That was what he came to fulfill. And he wants us to give our hearts truly over to him, and to show us the way that we should live, and to show us how mighty a God he is, and how much a God of love he is, that he loved us, that he would even give his own life for me and for each one of us, that would realize that what he has done for us, that in this season we celebrate him as a child, but we can see through his life, his whole life, the things that he did, and how faithful he was to God, and how he loved those that he met, and he did many miracles and things that no man could do, and knowing that he was the Son of God. And we can see that those people that we look at that time, at Joseph and Mary, how they were obedient to God, how their life was a life of obedience. We can see that in Mary, when she was told that she would have a child, but not just any child, that this child would be of God, that the Holy Ghost would come upon her and she would have a child. And I'm not sure how I would react if I heard things like that. Well, not having a child, being a man, wouldn't it be like that she would have this child within her? And I would have all kinds of questions. I mean, this child you're talking about is a child that is the Son of God, that is special. And how would you raise a child who is so going to be so mighty and going to be so close to God? And when people think of having a child, they might think of, well, how do I handle him, or how do I, will I have to punish him, and will he be the Son of God? But there are many questions that would be unanswered. But she had faith in God, knowing that she said that be it to the way that you say it would be, that let it be so, like that. And to have that spirit of humility, it would be something special. And also in Joseph, how he would raise this child, knowing it's not really his own in a normal childbearing way, but how would he teach a child who already knows more than he does, and how would that go? And yet he was obedient to God also. It would take God teaching that in a dream, but we see that he was also obedient, and when he was told to go to Egypt, he obeyed and did that. So I think we see the faithfulness and we see the obedience that those that Mary and Joseph had at the birth of the child. And I think it's just, it behooves us to be obedient and all, to be faithful and obedient also unto God, to know that he has special things prepared for us, and to be willing to give our lives to him and to sacrifice for him. And just looking at the number of Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled just in the birth of Christ, we can see that the Bible is true, and we can see the many other prophecies that were fulfilled in the life of Christ. We can also see that there are so many, and they are so wonderful, that do we really take advantage of what God has offered us? Do we really be as obedient as Mary was to recognize that God is in control of everything and wants to give us the best for us? He's looking out for the best for us, even when we do things wrong and he seems to punish us. It's really for our own good, and for the way that we should live, and we should honor him and praise him, and not just as a child, but also to recognize that he performed all these miracles and he went to the cross and died for us, and we should be honoring and praising God in all that we say and do. And I pray that as we look at Jesus as a child during this season, that we also recognize him as a man, and that we would want to do his will as Mary and Joseph would want to do the will of God when they were told about the child. So I'd like to finish up with number 299 in the Black Book. Number 299, Know ye the Son, the mighty Son of God.
Thank you, brothers Phil and Frank, for giving us, teaching us in the Bible class and the service. And they were both basically the same thing, how the Old Testament foretold about who Jesus was. And then clearly in the New Testament, all those 300 plus prophecies were fulfilled. And we're so thankful that the Bible is true and we can trust it and we can rely on it and we can know who Jesus is. And now, as the wise men gave gifts to Jesus, Adina has something special for the children here.
I have gifts from the Sunday school for Charlie. Want to come get your gift, Charlie?
Okay, thank you.
For Ava and Mia. Ava and Mia.
Thank you.
For Maggie and Liam.
Let's arise for a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings, for your gifts that have been showered upon us. Lord, your word, your spirit, your son. Lord, the wise men gave precious gifts to baby Jesus. How much more so should we give our hearts, our all, to you? Because, Lord, you have shown us the greatest gift is given is your Son, Lord, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you that we can have life and life eternal because of the gift of your Son, because of the sacrifice that he made, Lord, not only coming down to this dingy earth from heaven's home, Lord, but, Lord, to then suffer and die for my stead, for all our places, Lord, that we could have life and life more abundantly and life eternal because of the gift of salvation, the gift of redemption that has been offered by you, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord. Lord, we pray that our lives would reflect the love that has been shown to us as we show it outward to others, Lord, that we would be beams of light in this dark world, Lord. And Lord, at this time of year when everyone is celebrating and everyone is joyful and everyone has hope, Lord, in a few days when that's over, may we carry that hope in our hearts, the love in our hearts, the joy in our hearts that passes all understanding and that is truly from you and the gift that is eternal, Lord. We praise you and thank you for this. We pray a blessing on our lunch time together. Pray a blessing on the food that has been prepared, that we can enjoy it and nourish our bodies and enjoy one another in fellowship. We worship and praise you and thank you for providing for all our need, for body, soul, and spirit. And praise you now and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.